sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, April 22nd.
Good morning.
Hi, Charlotte. We're back with you.
We are.
After 3 days off.
I know, it was a nice long weekend.
Yeah.
It was perfect because it was Easter.
I know, but you didn't know you could sleep in yesterday, so you probably got up early, right?
I did, but it was, I like getting up early and just being up and active and
I know.
Was ready for the day.
I know, I have to agree. This morning I get out of bed and I'm hearing voices outside on the street and I'm looking, there's two cop cars and this guy like, you know, handcuffs.
Oh, no.
On the ground, but they're just talking to him and having fun. They were laughing.
Oh.
And all this stuff. Four cops and this guy, you know, but they had him handcuffed and he was sitting on the curb.
I was about to say, that's never a good way to start your morning in
handcuffs. No, I know. But he seemed like some kind of wild kid or something, you know. And then he walked away and his friends were waiting for him. And I don't know what the story was there, you know. Maybe he was just like causing some commotion or something.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, wow, what a way to get up in the morning, you know?
Definitely. That's too much commotion for me in the morning.
Yeah.
I like a nice relaxing start with a cup of coffee, preferably a donut.
Yeah. That's a good idea, yeah.
Did you have a good weekend?
I had a good weekend. You know, we had, obviously, Easter, and most mm-hmm. places were closed and stuff. But it was also 420, and
yes.
you probably heard. who can forget? Who can miss it? So that was a celebration for me, too. I'll always celebrate cannabis. What the hell?
It was funny. I was on the beach. I was in Newport on Sunday. I went to San Diego, but on the way back, stopped in Newport, and this couple were just walking past where we were sat,
uh-huh.
and my friend goes, "It smells of weed." And we just look at this couple that's so happy, just chilling on the beach, walking along.
I know.
It's like, happy 420.
I know. It's amazing how people do it freely outside and stuff.
Yeah.
But what's even more amazing is that people wonder. It's like, oh, is that weed? Yeah. I mean, there's always weed smell everywhere mm-hmm. you go, you know.
It's true.
And people celebrate. You get... But I'm not into that, going to different dispensaries and get different gifts and stuff. Although that's what they do.
Yeah.
It's so stupid, you know. So ridiculous, but...
I thought it was funny that it was the same day as Easter.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. For some people, it was a double celebration.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of people, especially in Colorado and... Probably California is legal for medical.
Yeah.
But even if it's
for medical, you can't smoke it outside in public places, you know. You're not supposed to.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but if you do, you only get like a ticket or something, mm-hmm. you know. It's not like jail like it used to be.
Yeah.
But it's crazy, yeah, you know, so.
Oh, I didn't know that you couldn't smoke it in public. It has to be in
Indoors, yeah. Hmm. Indoors and in authorized places like your home or something.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, but who cares, you know? I mean, people smoke everywhere.
I know, everywhere. There's always the smell of pot.
I know. And it's such
insane.
A strong smell.
I know, right?
I stink out my neighbors sometimes. I feel so bad for them.
Aw.
Yeah.
They're probably used to it.
I'll be damned if I smoke inside the house. Oh, I mean, there's no way I'm going to stink my own house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like an ongoing joke with me and stuff, but... Yeah, it's like, where are you supposed to go, you know? You smoke in your house. And if I'm on the balcony, then close your windows, you know, what can I say?
Yeah, and you don't want your house to then, because then it's clothes and everything starts
smelling.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
no,
when people smoke inside, it just, it leaves a bad smell.
Yeah, even cigarettes. I don't smoke cigarettes anywhere indoors, not in my car, not in my house, you know. Even when I'm outdoors, I like step away from people and stuff, you know. I'm really like a conscious smoker and stuff. But yeah, I mean, between the cigarettes and the weed, I think my neighbors and I have new neighbors upstairs, and he said something about it. But, you know, I told him, what do you want me to do? It's my medicine.
Like, sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's funny. So, yeah, so that was Sunday. And so you went down south, huh? You went to all the way down to San Diego?
Yeah, I went to San Diego on Friday and spent a couple of days there in Carlsbad.
So yeah, Carlsbad is nice, right?
It's really pretty.
Yeah, that's
really
where Legoland is. Did you get to go to Legoland?
I didn't, no. Whoa. And I still haven't been to the zoo.
Yeah.
All I want to do is go to San Diego Zoo. And I've been now 3 times in the past, like, 2 months and haven't been to the zoo.
Oh, wow.
All I want to do is go to the zoo.
But, yeah, well, you got to make a special trip.
Trip to go, definitely. Right. But it was really fun. It was really relaxing and just a nice weekend. And then on the way back, we went to Newport.
Yeah, Newport Beach is
probably
nice,
my
huh?
favorite place.
Isn't it beautiful there?
It's stunning.
Yeah.
And it's just so relaxed. I just love it.
And they have that Balboa Island there. Did you check that out?
Yeah, and the little ferry.
Yeah.
I love it. I love all that area.
Yeah, it's really nice. Orange County.
The waves were huge.
Really?
I went in the ocean, and I mean, they were probably like 6-foot waves right where I was. And they were so strong, like pulling me back into the,
scary.
In the ocean. It was. Yeah. I was like, I can't be, I'm a strong swimmer, but I was like, I cannot. And my friend's little brother, he's 14. So little kid, I was like, you have to get out because this is going to like sweep dangerous. You under. Yeah, it was scary.
Wow.
It was really, really strong, but it was nice to watch them. I've never seen waves that big, that close to the shore.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's interesting. And I'm surprised you went in the water. It's so cold out here, don't you think?
It wasn't as cold in Newport.
Really?
And and I mean, the initial shock jumping in, it's cold, but then it feels good.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But, well, I never enjoyed the ocean here. I mean, I love going to the beach and everything and watching and listening to the ocean. But going in the water never appealed to me here. I don't know why.
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah, especially when I'm in the mood. I was in the mood to go in the ocean.
Yeah,
but the waves were just too strong. I was like, I have to.
Yeah.
I have to get out. I'm going to get, like, pulled in. But that's when people, it's scary. And there's a, I can't think what it's called. There's a part right there by where we were. I can't think what it's called, but it's known for the crazy waves. Like, you're not allowed to surf in this area.
Oh, wow.
Because it's dangerous. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's cool. So, we'll continue with that. I just wanted to say we're going to have a guest in a few minutes calling in. And this is a great book, Why Science Does Not Disprove God. And I like this stuff. I love science. I love talking about God. And I thought this would be very exciting. So I actually started reading the book. And it's pretty clever. You know, it's pretty interesting. This guy's a mathematician. And so he talks about that. And this is not the first time. You know, I mean, even Einstein said, you know, the closer... I mean, I'll paraphrase him. I don't know the exact words, but he said something to the effect of, the more I discover about the universe, the closer I feel to God, you know, because he's realizing that, you know, there's got to be like a grand scheme here. There's more to it.
Everything's connected and everything's happening for a reason.
Right. And things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to discuss with him in a few minutes. I wanted to... So we were talking about Orange County and stuff in the water. So you're saying it actually felt warmer to you then?
Yeah, it wasn't that cold.
Oh, wow.
Mm-mm.
That's pretty cool.
No, it was, I mean, I went in the ocean in Playa del Rey a couple weeks ago, and that was freezing.
Yeah.
Freezing. But Newport, because it's, I don't know, it's like, what, an hour away?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't think there would be that much of a
difference
but... There was.
Yeah.
It was a lot warmer. It felt good.
Okay. Well, if you enjoyed it, that's all that matters, really.
And it was hot out on Sunday.
Yeah,
so that probably
made
a difference too.
Hot. It was very hot, yeah. So, I mean, do you usually go to church on Easter or you don't really care, right?
Not really.
Yeah, I know. I don't do those things either.
Makes me feel bad.
You see, that's what religion's supposed to do to you, is make you feel guilty, you know?
I know, it does.
It does, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to ignore it and just and live your life and forget what you were taught when you were a kid.
No,
and
right.
couldn't argue with it, you know? Yeah, here's the phone ringing, so let's find out if this is our guest.
Yeah, hi, this is Amir Akzel. I'm going to be your guest for Sam in the Morning.
Yes, Amir, good morning. Thank you for calling in. How are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, good. You called a few minutes early, but we're just fine. We didn't...
Sure.
Yeah,
yeah, I wanted to make sure I got through them. I've been having awful problems with my phone today for some reason, and that's the day where I have most interviews. So I wanted to make sure that I get through and I don't have to try many times.
Sounds good, and we're glad you got through and everything.
Yeah, definitely.
And this is just fine. So you sent us the book. We were just talking about it. I started reading your book, Why Science Does Not Disprove God. And the title is obviously grabbing. And this is something that I've read about and researched and talked about for many years. So it really touched me. So, tell us a little bit about, well, first of all, where are you calling us from this morning?
From Boston, Brookline, Massachusetts, just outside Boston.
Oh, I see. Cool. Is that where you live?
Right, yeah, I live here.
Oh, okay, wonderful. And so what do you do when you don't write?
Good question. I travel a lot. I do research for my books. In fact, I used to be a professor, a tenured professor at a local university, Bentley University, and I quit in order to write books full time because the research takes so much work. And so I travel a lot. I just spent a few months in Southeast Asia researching the earliest zero, which I found actually. It took me 5 years of research to find it in an ancient stele. Before that, I traveled to Switzerland to research the Large Hadron Collider, where the Higgs particle was discovered.
Right.
So I mostly do research very intensively all the time, and I chose this profession because I like to travel.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
you
that's great.
Don't want to sit in an office 9 to 5, right?
Exactly, right. Yeah.
How many books do you have?
This is my 19th book.
Oh, my God. Wow. So, yeah, you need full time for that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. How many?
I used to write books while teaching full time and doing research for the university. And it just got to the point where I had to choose between one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm the only person I know who gave up a full tenured position to just write books.
Wow, but you went after your passion, and that's amazing, you know.
Now, exactly, that's what I did.
Yeah. Now, over what period of time were these 19 books written?
So my first one was in 1994, and so it's 20 years.
20 years, wow, amazing. So it's
about
a book
a year.
Yeah. Amazing, so you've been very productive.
I try.
Now tell us how you became interested in this science meets God type of a thing.
Well, that really was an unusual thing for me. I was up late one night and... surfing the net, and I realized there's a new book called Universe from Nothing, and I immediately bought it and disagreed with everything that was said in that book about the universe coming out of nothingness. So I decided to write this book, and then I was at the conference in Mexico with my daughter, where Richard Dawkins was speaking, and she's a science major in college, and she asked him a question, and he said, it was an innocuous question about how he reaches his conclusions that there is no God, that God is not necessary, and he just said, "You can believe in unicorns if you like," and turned his back and walked away. And I thought it's interesting that these atheists are very aggressive, and that sort of prodded me to to continue the research and do this book.
That's true, and that's what you discussed the atheists quite a bit, or what you call the new atheists.
Yeah.
And so describe to us what you mean by the term. What are new atheists? And also you did point out in the book early on also that they are aggressive. They seem to be confrontational. And almost like hating, you know, when you try to talk about God or religion. So tell us a little bit about these people. Richard Dawkins, obviously, is one of the most prominent ones. So go ahead.
Right. The new atheism movement really starts in America with 9/11. And Sam Harris was the first one to come out with a book called The End of Faith, in which he claimed that, you know, because of the horrors of 9/11, religion is no longer a place in the world. And, of course, you know, we're justified in our outrage. To kill people in the name of God is a terrible, terrible thing to do.
Mm.
And that's against the concept of God being good and loving and so on. So, but to go on and from there and to say, as Dawkins says, that Lawrence Krauss and
Christopher Hitchens.
Christopher Hitchens before he died, that science proves there's no God. That's just not correct. It's wrong. To me, science says the opposite. To me, science says that there is something in nature that is so wondrous and intricate and complicated. You know, it takes pages and pages of equations to just describe one particle in physics.
Wow.
And all these equations, they must come from somewhere.
Right. And that's the thing, you know. I mean, they talk about, like, the Big Bang and everything, but you see, I don't think that religion really contradicts that. I mean, I think you know, in many, I mean, many sages, Jewish and otherwise, have really addressed this many centuries ago about how the world started from just one grain or, you know, or whatever,
yeah.
You know, all condensed and that. And so people have been talking about this for centuries.
Well, not only that, I have a story in the book that is something that has always intrigued me. So I don't advocate using scripture as a guide to the universe, but
right.
Having said that, Genesis tells us that the universe began at one point, meaning it didn't exist and then suddenly it came into being. Whether, you know, this was written for primitive people 3,000 years ago or something
right.
like that. So it describes it as God making the universe in 6 days and resting on the seventh. But the real essence of the idea is that the universe did not exist and suddenly it came about, it was created, it came into being. Now, in 1917, Albert Einstein, the greatest scientist of the 20th century, was writing an equation called the cosmological equation. And he designed it with something called the cosmological constant so that it will describe a universe that is static, always has always been there, was never created, but has always existed. And that was done. His equation actually told him that the universe should expand or contract, but he forced it with a cosmological constant called lambda. It's in the term we put into the equation, to force the universe to stay static, because that's what all the astronomers and physicists were telling him and believed at the time. This was the case until 1929, when Edwin Hubble at the Mount Wilson Observatory in California discovered the expansion of the universe, and then a priest by the name of Lemaître, a Belgian priest, came up with the idea of the Big Bang, something he called the primeval atom. Because if the universe is expanding, then supposedly it was smaller and smaller in earlier times, and at one point it was the size of an atom or something like that that exploded in this huge explosion called the Big Bang. So if you lived between 1917 and 1929, and you believed in science, the state of the art in science, that told you that the universe has always existed. Well, if you open the book in Genesis, you read that the universe was created at some point. Today we know that Genesis was essentially right, mm-hmm. and these scientists were wrong, which I think yeah. is a cute story.
Right. And, you know, and another thing that I've always contended, I think that's very, very important, is there is a difference between religion and faith, you know, because faith is something personal, I think. You either believe there's a bigger force out there, an intelligence out there that started it all, or you don't, you know. But the thing is that, what was the thing? I don't know.
I agree with you that faith and religion are different.
Yeah,
I think faith is more what you... And faith, to me, is kind of spiritual also, whereas religion is the God that you...
Well, religion, I think, is man-made. That's what I'm thinking, you know? It's like people are trying to explain certain things, but in other words, religion is not God, you know? And people mix the two, I think. And what do you think about that?
Right. I try to defend in the book the idea of God, which I am sure science has not disproven in any shape or form. And I want to distinguish that from organized religions. Religions are flawed because they're human-made institutions, and they
right.
tend to be chauvinistic for their people. Like, there's my God, and your God is wrong and
right.
doesn't exist, but my God is strong and defends me. And that is a thinking that evolved from very primitive times when people were fighting battles against other peoples, and they wanted protection from some God who was going to make them win. The God that I tried to defend in this book against the new atheists is the God of Einstein or Spinoza, the God of nature, the God of the laws of physics. And Einstein, I researched him for many years for two of my books. Albert Einstein always talked about God. He said, subtle is the Lord, but malicious he is not. I shall never believe that God plays dice with the universe. Mm-hmm. I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are details, and so on. And so he believed in a kind of God, the God, a spirit that created the laws of physics that he, Einstein, saw as his life's mission to uncover.
Right. And I was just discussing this, that I also read that, you know, Einstein also said, and I'm not sure of the exact words, but that, you know, the more he discovers about science, the closer he feels he is to God, you know, because he's realizing, just like you mentioned, and I think many scientists realize this, that, you know, the more you research, the more you have a certain awe about all this, and you go, wait a minute, you know, this is like just too intelligent for it to just have happened from cosmic dust mm-hmm. without some kind of an intelligence behind it.
And the cosmic dust has to come from somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you look at the speck of dust, there's so much structure in it. The atoms are made out of nuclei and electrons going around them. And the nuclei are made of protons and neutrons. And protons and neutrons are made of quarks, up quarks and down quarks. And all these forces that hold them together and make them work, and all the masses and the charges, they're all finely tuned. If they had been slightly off of what they are, we wouldn't be here to discuss the universe. And that, to me, is the greatest argument for the existence of God. The universe is so finely tuned for life
right.
to exist that Roger Penrose, the great British mathematician and physicist, computed the probability of that the life-giving universe like ours would arise just out of randomness, based on one parameter only, and there are hundreds of parameters. And he came up with a number 1 divided by 10, raised to the power 10, raised again to the power 123. That's a number as close to zero as you can possibly imagine.
Wow.
So it's impossible that the universe has no structure behind it that's very, very intricate and shows some kind of a greater intelligence that created it.
Right.
When you say you research a lot and you travel a lot for your research, for this book, where did you travel to?
For this book, I traveled to a conference in Mexico several times where the issue of science and religion was discussed very intensively. The conference is called Ciudad de las Ideas, which is Spanish for City of Ideas. I'd been invited there several times by the organizer, and Richard Dawkins spoke there, and Lawrence Krauss spoke there, and Christopher Hitchens, the year before he died, spoke there as well. It's become the place for discussing the conflict between science and religion. So for this book, this is what I did. I also traveled to other places. I interviewed scientists who happened to be religious. One of them in Jerusalem, a physicist who came up with an incredible theory about black holes and the entropy of a black hole. And then Stephen Hawking took first ridiculed that person and then took his idea. His name is Jacob Bekenstein, by the way. He's very religious and believes in God and sees no problems with uncovering the laws of physics and believing in a traditional God, in the God of Orthodox Judaism. Then Hawking, Stephen Hawking got the idea from him and then developed it further. So this is a state-of-the-art science in the frontiers of physics, and here is somebody who is perfectly comfortable being religious and pursuing science. So he is one example where really there's no conflict between the two. And I traveled to other places, to Europe. I traveled to the lab of a physicist in Paris. His name is Alain Aspect. Aspect spelled like aspect. And he was one of the first people to do the most powerful tests of entanglement, which is an incredible process in physics. We have one particle in one place and another at another place far away, and when one does something that shows a particular quantum state, the other one, the twin, shows exactly the same state, and it happens faster than the speed of light would have, faster than the time it would take for a light signal to go from one to the other.
Right, and that's fascinating, wow. You know. And I got to tell you, Amir, I mean, we could talk about this for hours. It's just a subject that fascinates me, but I know you have other interviews. I just wanted to ask you finally, do you explain in the book why the new atheists are so like confrontational and aggressive towards people that do believe there's a God here? I mean, not everybody that believes there's a God is a fanatically religious person, you know. So why is that animosity there?
I really don't know. That's an interesting question. I think it has to do with the leader of the movement, Richard Dawkins. He's the undisputed leader. He was the first to claim that science proves definitively that there is no God. And I've spoken to him several times in these conferences in Mexico that I mentioned. And he is very passionate. In fact, we had breakfast once and together, and he was sitting there. There are other people around the table, too. And he said, they will say this, and they will attack me there. And they, it's like the enemy.
Yeah.
And I think if I were pressed for an answer, it would be that Richard Dawkins' personality is very passionate about atheism. He has become convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the universe doesn't need a God, and he wants so much for you to believe it too that it's just something that he can't help. And people who have ganged up together with him, such as Lawrence Krauss, has traveled around the world with him giving lectures and making a movie about atheism, has sort of picked up that approach to atheism, which really turns it into another religion, because it's a way of
trying to
convince other people that you're right.
Yeah.
What are your other books about this kind of subject too, or is it a broad range of things that your books cover?
Right. So the review that was written about it in the Washington Post described it as a book that does many different things. I thought while I was writing it that it's mostly about science, and it is a lot about science, and there's a lot in it that really describes science. Science is my passion, and but the description was it's also about religion, it's about the history of ideas, it's about philosophy, it's about personalities as well. So it's about all these things
lots
put together
things.
In the context of science and religion.
Very fascinating.
Wow.
Amir Axel, really am I pronouncing your name right? Axel?
Sure. Right.
Okay. And so Amir Excel, you're a PhD as well, and written a lot of books. The books we were talking about is Why Science Does Not Disprove God. Mm-hmm. And a fascinating book. I read a couple of chapters from it, and I assure you I'm going to finish the whole thing because I love this stuff. Amir, do you have a website also where people can go?
Sure. My website is just amirdxzel.com, so it's AmirDacZel is one word, .com. And the book should be available everywhere, though, in any every bookstore and online, Amazon and or BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere.
Right. Well, congratulations on
wow,
the book.
Yeah.
Was this just released?
Yes, just now, on tax day.
Wow.
On the 15th of April, yeah.
Well, congratulations to you. I know publishing a new book is like having a new baby, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're right, exactly. That's a baby.
Because it takes a while to come up with one, you know? So, Amir, thank you so much for taking the time and talking with us
this
morning.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, you see, I mean, there's just so much to talk about
there
this,
really
right?
There really is, and it's such a... It boggles my mind, subjects like this, because it's bigger than you, right? It is, and it's intimidating.
Right, in a way, you know, but I got to tell you that, you know, there's different ways to look at it. And the way I look at it is this. You know, I don't subscribe to religion very much. I mean, I was raised not religious, but traditional. And, you know, where we observe the holidays, you do get all the guilt trips if you don't observe them and things like that, you know. But now I don't subscribe to that, you know. I mean, I agree with exactly what he said, that the Bible was written for ancient people who are not as intelligent as we are. So they explained spiritual and scientific things in a more palatable way, you know, so people could understand it. And, you know, but religious people are the first ones to tell you, don't take the Bible literally.
Mm-hmm. They really are.
Yeah, it's like it represents other things and stuff.
Yeah.
So when, you know, when these atheists say, oh, this is not possible, this is ridiculous, that Jesus rose from the dead and all that, stuff like this doesn't happen, they're just taking things literally.
Yeah.
You know.
You're right.
Yeah.
And some people, I mean, I know people, like, there's some people that are very religious and they don't give you an option to be anything other than what they are.
Exactly.
And they preach to you that you have to be this. You have to think this, what I think. Whereas there's other religious people that I respect a lot more because they're very open to other religions too.
Right.
They understand that everyone has different ideas of what happens, but they are very strong and very believing in what they believe.
Right.
And
so this society is like I think Asian religions and stuff are more tolerant, I think, of other religions, like you mentioned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But some like... you know, I mean, I don't want to get into religious and everything, but some religions, like he said, and it's not a secret, that many religions start wars and they cause a lot of death and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And it's happened over the centuries as well. But it doesn't mean that there's no intelligent force behind all this. And my point is that I live in awe, you know. I mean, I constantly like think, look at the human body. Look at the self-contained system we have for Earth, you know, for our solar system. Everything is like he said, you know, it doesn't make sense that by random, even over billions of years, that all this perfection would happen without some kind of like someone or something planning it all.
No, definitely. And speaking religions starting wars, I watched a video the other day of a large Al-Qaeda meeting in Yemen. And it was I think it just shows that this is still ongoing. There's so many different views of everything. And I mean, the video of this meeting is petrifying.
Really?
It's the fact that it's, well, I mean, I guess they wanted it to be leaked.
Right.
And it's just showing, I can't remember the guy's name, but it's the guy that was under Al-Qaeda.
Uh-huh.
He, his, his person now that he's gone that has kind of taken over. But there's so many people there.
Right.
And they're all shooting guns and just obviously getting ready for...
Yeah, and blowing people up and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And that's unfortunate, you know. But I don't think those are the people that represent God. And I'm sure God doesn't need any representatives to tell us what he says and what he means, you know. And that's what religions are. They tell you, okay, this is what this means, but this is just based on their views, you know. And obviously, different religions will look at the same thing and explain it differently.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's that, you know. But like I said, you know, when I look at, like, at the miracle of birth, you know, I mean, how does that happen, you know? How could something like this be just the result of just a cosmic explosion, you know, without anything behind it?
I know. It's, yeah. No, definitely.
But that's the thing is that in philosophy, they also say, you know, it's like believe what you want, call God what you want. But if we believe that everything has to be started, then someone had to start it. Someone had to start it all, you know. But it's beyond our comprehension, you know. I mean, how can you possibly imagine what happened 14 billion years ago?
Yeah, and there's no... The problem is there's no answer.
No.
There's no definite answer, and that's where all the speculation comes
in. Right. And you see, and I think that's another part of this grand design, is that so we don't know everything, you know. So life is full of discovery and awe, you know, living in awe. And I don't know, I'm just, so like I said, I believe there's God and I respect that. But I don't think if I don't follow the religious rules that something's going to happen to me. I just don't think it's that way.
Yeah, me either.
You know. So at any rate, that's that. And religion's trying to explain all these things. Yeah. But... yeah, so that was that. You were asking me how the new station is coming along, and it's coming along great, although I'm extremely stressed out and pressured because we're going to launch tomorrow night. And so I still haven't sent out the press release and all that. And there's just a million things, you know.
Yeah.
You have the studio and all the technical parts. You have the website. And I'm doing it all. I'm doing everything because... I know how it should look and how it should work, you know.
Yeah.
And
well, it's impressive that you're able to do everything.
Yeah, I know.
And that shows what a great business person you are because you're able to do every...
Not only that, but I mean, I am talented in many ways, I have to admit. But I also gained a lot of skills in my life, you know. So
And they're great skills to have, like
knowing how to make a website, graphic design, and exactly. Yeah, and things like that, you know. But I had to learn about audio, and then I have to learn about video now, and things like that. So that's exciting, you know.
Yeah, it's always good to learn something new, and
there's
you never know when you're going to need these skills.
Exactly, so. You know. I mean, I started a computer animation company in 1990, believe it or not. That's before you were born, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I remember my daughter was born that year, and I was starting something, and I had no idea what I was doing, but I discovered the software that can help you do animation, and I thought, okay, I'm going to check this out. And eventually I created a very unique company, you know, that made like effects that you see in the movies, but I made them for businesses that wanted to do like presentations and videos of their products and things like that. So that was a lot of fun and stuff, and it gave me a lot of foundation for what I'm doing now, you know.
Definitely.
I've even done like accounting in my life. I've done online marketing and all that.
Wow.
So all that is helping me.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like all the skills and talents I have sort of like converged in the form of LA Talk Radio. And then after this, it's the next progression, you know, to go into adult radio and with, you know, videotaping the studio and everything. So that's going to be really exciting. And for those of you who want to check it out and stuff, I mean, we're not producing porn. We're not peddling porn. This is just going to be adult film stars sharing their lives, telling us what it's like to be in the industry. and connect with their fans. That's my vision, you know.
And it's a great place that's not necessarily porn, that these people like.
Yeah, anybody can go. Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, yeah. I'm not going to show like any action there at all. You know, the most you'll see maybe some boobies or something, because these girls like to whip them out. Don't ask me why, but they do.
That's funny.
So yeah, they have that urge, you know. Mm-hmm. And but for those of you who want to check it out, it's called Radio Temptation, and the website is at radiotemptation.com. The website, there's just a page right now, but tomorrow night it's going to be launched. And
exciting.
Yeah, I know. So I hardly been sleeping, you know. I'm on 3 hours of sleep, so that's why I'm sitting here coughing and stuff. I don't believe I'm like on my third wind now, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't believe I have the energy, but this show always energizes me, and you know, and just being able to get up in the morning, you know. I mean, just being alive after another night of sleep. Uh-huh.
And it's not until you really like you have to stay awake, you have to get all this done, that you realize how much you can actually do on a little sleep.
That's true.
And how much energy you actually really do have. And yeah, the end of the week, you're probably going to crash.
Yeah.
But while you, until you have everything done and you have everything set in place, it's like you have this excitement and energy, new energy that you didn't think you had.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's the thing, when you do something you love, it doesn't feel like work, you know. So, I mean, for me, it was hard to go to sleep, not because I wasn't tired, but because I wanted to keep going with my work. And then finally at 3:30, I said, okay, enough's enough, man. So I got about 4 hours of sleep today. But it's fine. You know, like I said, it's not going to be like that all the time. So I don't mind it at all. And it's my little baby, you know. So it's going to be born tomorrow, and that's exciting, you know.
It's exciting. I'm excited to listen.
Yeah, I know. I've been like... I mean, this has been in the making for 4 months now, and I left everything to the last minute, you know, because I just felt until we had like a place in office that it wasn't real yet. You know?
And when everything, and a lot of people work best under pressure. I know I do for sure.
Right. You don't always have a choice, right?
Exactly. And and even if I don't mean to, everything's always left to the last minute.
Yeah.
Whether it's I'm researching for someone that I'm interviewing an hour before, but I do better then.
Right.
And it's still in my mind and everything's refreshed.
Right.
Or even I remember I would write an essay an hour before it was due, and I always got an A. Always.
Really?
Always. When I wrote an essay at the last minute in school, I always got an A. If I wrote it a couple days ahead, it was like... Before, I would get like a B.
Really?
Because I would spell things wrong, and because I was so much more careful when I did everything last minute.
Right.
Which is weird, but I definitely think that you get this energy and excitement and just a new demeanor when you're under pressure. It's like, got to get going.
That's true. But not everybody can function very well, you know. I mean, and me included. I mean, if something gets in my way when I'm trying to accomplish something, I get pissed, you know. And I get impatient and stuff because it's just get out of my way. You know, I need to do this and all
it
that.
It does, it does make your blood pressure go up and anxiety go up.
And,
I get anxiety.
Frustration tolerance is not as high.
Yeah. So sometimes my anxiety is through the roof.
Yeah.
But I do it to myself, so I can't complain.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, so that's going to happen, and I'm really excited about it. And again, you know, I mean, sleeping is not... You know, like I sometimes tell people, I heard this once from someone, and, you know, it's true. We'll sleep when we die, you know. We'll have plenty of time to sleep then.
Exactly. And you have to make the most of what you have.
Right.
And this past week has been crazy for people I know pass away. Like, people that I know have passed away.
Wow.
And it's just really put things into perspective. I'm like, God, like, life is so short.
Right.
And you really don't... And everyone knows that, but they really don't live like there's no tomorrow and live with no regrets and live just being happy. Life's too short not to be happy and to live in misery. And it was just like, wow. And these are young people. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is crazy, really crazy. But it kind of put everything into perspective in my mind, that all the stress that I put myself under for no reason,
right?
That it's really not necessary,
right? That's true.
And but it's weird.
Yeah,
it's been a weird week with that, but it has put things back into perspective, and that just got to live life. And If you wake up with a smile on your face, I truly believe that you'll have a good day if you wake up with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Whether you get up on the wrong side, that's annoying. I hate that saying. I got up on the wrong side of the bed today. It's like, oh my God. Like, that doesn't mean anything. Right. You know, that's all mental.
Exactly.
That you say that you,
like, I don't get up with a smile, but eventually when I leave the house, I'm smiling.
I don't smile to myself very much. I really do try and wake up with a smile on my face every morning. And it might take me an hour to get going sometimes, and I need quite a few cups of coffee. But I don't know. It's waking up, being thankful and grateful for everything.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I have to agree with that. So a few other things. Wow, the time just flew today. Did you hear about this teenager who flew, was a stowaway? He was in the wheel well of an airplane from San Jose to Hawaii. This kid is like 5 hours flying there. I mean, how does this happen? You know, and it's not the first time I've heard of things like this before.
And I just, this is, again, what I don't understand about the security system.
Yeah.
And everything. And everyone always says that our security system in the airports is now a lot better. Obviously, it's not.
No, I mean, this guy just jumped. Yeah, yeah, I mean, this guy just jumped the fence, right? I think. Yeah. And got to where. And but this is interesting. An aviation expert says that in other countries, pilots manually inspect wheel wells, which is interesting, you know, because. But I guess they're more involved in what's going on, you know. And the thing is, when you fly smaller planes as a pilot, you got to inspect everything
exactly.
Anyway,
yeah, you know? When it's a smaller plane, definitely.
Because it's up to you.
Yeah, for sure. But when it's a bigger plane, I do not see the pilots.
Yeah, doing this. I know. I know. So the thing is that it's scary, though, because, I mean, a terrorist could just as easily
do that. Exactly.
You know, and really blow the plane out of the sky.
Yeah.
So, you know, and this is a 16-year-old kid. And how do you, you know, they're saying it's like, you know, it must have been freezing for him, you know, and dark and all that stuff. How do you manage, you
did
know,
he say
no,
what
no
he,
oxygen?
Yeah. What was his, why did he do that?
I don't know.
He just wanted to go to Hawaii?
Yeah.
Probably. He just wanted a vacation, a free flight. And they found him when they were unloading, right?
I don't know. Is that what happened?
I think that was what I read.
So what, he was still there when they were...
Yeah.
Oh, so he didn't get off until... He was probably going to wait till everybody got out of the plane first or something. Wow. Yeah. Where does this kind of thinking even happen?
I don't know. Like, what possesses you to try and do that?
Yeah.
And is he in jail?
They're saying they're not planning to pursue criminal charges.
But, and how can you really? Because, yeah, I mean, yeah, he did that, but he was able to do that.
Right, exactly.
So, really, everyone's at fault.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
just the kid that
yeah.
did it.
I know, if it embarrasses them, then it doesn't give them a reason to arrest them. And,
I'm sure they want it swept under the rug.
Right. And besides, what is it going to get them anyway, you know, charging this kid? So,
yeah,
plus he must have had a good story if they're not charging him with anything.
Very
you know?
True. Yeah. Probably a reason. He made up a reason why he didn't.
Yeah. I know. So this is funny. You know, I mean, you end up in Hawaii and...
Now he's got to do the same thing to get back.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
Because he probably can't afford a plane ride.
Back.
Right?
I think they'll send it back. I have a feeling.
See, he won all over that.
Yeah.
Like, he really did win in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
He got to go to Hawaii. He got commotion. Got written about in the papers,
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly. Notoriety.
He's,
like, famous now and all that. That's true, huh? Couldn't go wrong with that plan.
It's really funny.
I know. And then this thing, I guess in India... this man had stomach pains and stuff, so he went to the hospital. They found 12 gold bars in his stomach. Now, mind you, the small ones, you know, I was picturing these huge ones. I'm like, how could they get them in? But these are small ones, but he was hiding them in his belly to get into India and bring some gold with him.
Did he? Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
To smuggle some gold. You know,
that's
so
crazy.
Yeah.
So Did he eat them? No.
I'm sure, yeah. That's probably how he swallowed it. They're not saying, like, surgically it was put in there. So he must have swallowed them and expected to, you know, excrete them afterwards.
Well, yeah. But if you've done something like that, why would you then go to the doctor for stomach problems?
Yeah, because what are you going to do? You know, I mean, you know something's going to be wrong, though.
Exactly. Obviously, it's got to be something to do with the gall bars that you swallowed. Right?
Yeah.
So why? Oh, my goodness.
But I can't imagine this man went through a lot of thinking this out before he did
this. That's very true. Yeah, so, he's probably...
So we're not talking about a very intelligent person.
That's funny. Wow.
Wow.
The
people
length
are crazy.
That people go to.
I know. Right? I know. Crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is it for today. Tomorrow and Thursday, I think we have studio guests, so that should be fun.
Yay.
And that's it, Charlotte.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.